KC is proud to present the fifth season of The Adventures of Harry Flynn. The Adventures of Harry Flynn is written, performed, and directed by King students. We now present our 42nd episode, The Roaring Tide, Part 2. Tonight, the parts of Officers Rogers and Muldoon will be played by Nicholas Glenn. When we last left our intrepid band...
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it looks like we have ourselves a police detective.
There's been a murder down by the pier.
Where the watermelons grow.
Hello, who's there, please?
Hi, my name is Glenn Glenson, and I just wanted to drop by and say hello.
I told those folks down at the cop shop I didn't want to talk to any cops.
Damn, I should really start wearing a helmet.
And now the conclusion.
I came to around what, to my best knowledge, seemed like anywhere from 3 minutes to 3 hours later, tied down to an ornately carved Norse chair in a dimly lit room. I jostled around to see if the rope had any given it.
Nice try, Mr. Flynn, but don't expect to get out of there anytime soon. I tie knots pretty well, if I do say so myself.
Ibsen emerged from the shadows, looking just as menacing and... well, Swedish as ever. How do you know my name? He smiled and showed me his hands. In one meaty palm was my wallet. The other, my piece. He then carefully placed them on a side table and turned his attentions back to me.
Oh, I know all about you now, Charles.
I prefer to be called Harry.
Yeah, well, I would have preferred my privacy, and now here we both are.
So, and I'm spitballing here. I guess you killed Arberton?
Really? What was your first clue?
Well, when a man goes through all this trouble, it isn't because he fell through on this Girl Scout cookie payments.
Oh... well, what can I say? You do what you gotta do.
And what exactly did you have to do, Carl?
Kill him. I thought that was pretty apparent.
No, I mean why? Why did you kill him?
I don't think I want to tell you that, Harold.
Okay. First off, it's Harry. Secondly, I've gotta ask, is this the first time you've ever kidnapped anyone?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Well, usually at this particular juncture, it's customary for the captor, who in most cases is the main antagonist, or, to use non-literary terms, criminal of the given case, to explain his or her modus operandi.
I don't know if I'm comfortable with that, Harold.
Once again, it's Harry. Look, I'm here, I've obviously got nowhere else to go, so please, humor me.
All right then, you bent my arm.
Ibsen grabbed a duplicate carved chair from one of the back walls, pulled it into the light, and sat down.
There we are. Eliminate leg strain, you know. So, what do you want to know, Harry?
Let's start with the basics. Why did you kill Fred Arberton?
Let's see. Fred and I were in the fishmongering business together for about, somewhere close to 5 years, but he started getting a little nosy.
Well, I would too. I can't imagine the smells you have to put up with.
No, but... I mean nosy like Snoopy. Invasive, started to let his mind wander onto things they shouldn't have been wandering on.
Oh yeah? Like what?
Does that fall under the jurisdiction of things I have to tell you?
Yes. Yes, it does.
All right. Well, the area we mongered in is not legally supposed to be mongered in. There's some codes and some such. I'm a little foggy on the details. It was the perfect spot to sell from, though. And, as I'm sure you're already aware, you pay the right people the right money and you're fine.
You're paying the mob to sell fish?
I think... it's definitely a shadowy organization, I'll tell you that much. Anywho, after about 2 years, I was asked to commit different services in lieu of pay.
Strong arm? You had to strong arm people so you could sell fish?
Well, it just started out as strong arm, and then it just went to straight murders. So I started having to kill just to keep mongering. Unfortunately, Fred saw me working over a guy while he was unloading a load of halibut. So I did what I had to do.
You ended human lives... for fish. Seems a little excessive.
Oh, you just don't understand. Ever since I was a boy in Sweden, I love fishing. Going out in a boat on the high seas. The feel of a saltwater mist spraying against your face. The roaring tide smacking up against a boat with a deafening thunderclap. Casting your net out into the briny deep to bring up mountains of glistening, writhing fish. And the look of joy and exultation on your loved one's faces as you prepared it and ate it. It's the only life I've ever wanted.
That may be, but you always could have picked a different spot.
Yeah, but that was a really good spot.
I tired of our give and take, and thrashed around a bit more, giving Carl one hell of a show. I soon noticed he and I were the only ones around. Hold on. Where's Wendrick?
Your friend in the cop car?
More or less.
Oh, her. Couldn't get her. She probably drove back to the cop shop.
Then you know it's just a matter of time before a swarm of cops bursts in here and arrests you for fish-related murders. You know how much you'll be harassed in prison for fish-related murders?
Yeah, you're probably right. So I should just get right down to killing you, then burn the place to the ground. Already got an escape route and everything. Excuse me, just let me go get my fishmongering tools to kill you with.
Oh, great.
Meanwhile, at the police station...
this is ridiculous.
McKenna, how goes it with the truant officer?
All right. He says that Nick's kid's got a criminal record a mile long.
so it should be an easy arrest.
Great. Keep working that delinquent angle. It'll yield some good things. McMillan?
Yes, sir.
You handle the transit thing.
I'm on it, Chief. Zay? Officer Zay?
Yes, officer?
We need as much information on the public transit debacle as you can get your hands on ASAP.
Right away, officer.
Officer Meyer?
Yeah?
You're holding a pencil. Yay, Officer Meyer!
Yeah. Thanks.
Of course. Right when we get hit with the crime wave of the month, we've got no damn private eye, and we're down one cop.
I wonder what's keeping Flynn and Wendrick. Hey, Muldoon! Only 2 donuts per officer per day. That's the new snack food policy.
But I wanted a donut. Can't I have a donut commish, please?
All right. That guy. That guy. Always something with that guy.
Sir?
Right. Look, we need more hands. Why don't you cold call Murdoch, see if he can come in, help us out with any of this?
Sure thing, sir. Right away.
This is just bedlam. Wonder how many donuts are left.
La-dee-la-da-doo-la-dee-la. Hey! Not Commissioner. Hello? Officer Rogers?
Me?
Yeah, you, Oscar. Hi. How's it going with the Romanian?
Oh, you know, it's fan. I mean, oh, it's fantastic. Oh, what I mean to say is,
Are you all right?
Me? Oh, yeah, no. No, I'm not, no. I have to, use the, would you look at that?
What? That light fixture? It's a pretty decent light fixture. Not as nice as the ones I've seen in the business districts of the... Oscar? Hello, Oscar? Where'd he go?
I don't know.
Oh, he's so cute. Doodle 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 doo. Hi, Officer McMillan.
Hello, Spinoza.
What you doing?
Making a phone call.
Ooh, who to?
Look, Spinoza, you're a very nice girl, but please, please leave me alone right now.
Okay. Hey, Meyer, I still see you're holding onto that pencil. Way to go!
Hello, this is the operator. How may I direct your call?
Yes, hello, Robert Murdoch, please.
One moment as I transfer your call, please.
Wait, what? What is that?
Oh, I hum people music so they don't get bored waiting for a call. I do it all the time. Here we are.
Just a minute, please. Look, we're in bad shape right now, and they need all the help they can get. I have to take this.
Damn it, Robert, I just want my husband back.
I thought you accepted all this when we got married.
I'm sorry, Robert. I married you, not the city.
D.A. Murdoch?
What?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Excuse me. I just went. I'm not feeling myself. What is it?
I
Speak now, or I'm hanging up.
Look, if this is a bad time, I could call again.
No, it's fine. What's the matter, officer? Sorry, I can't place your voice.
McMillan, sir. We have a situation down at the police station. Nothing serious. We're just slightly understaffed.
I was under the impression that's why the city gave the police extra funds, so they could hire new cops to work all the beats. That's the entire reason you're back here, McMillan, and don't you forget it.
Yes, I realize this, sir. It's just that, well, 2 of our people are missing.
Bet I can name one of them. Which ones?
Officer Wendrick and Flynn, currently.
Figures he would be. I'll be right down.
Thank you very...
Hey, McMillan, you call Murdoch?
Yeah, he should be down in... Are you eating donuts?
Maybe.
I thought you told Muldoon we could only have 2 a day.
Well, I mean, that's more of a loose guideline than anything, but...
Commissioner Spinelli!
Wendrick, where the heck's Flynn?
And why do you look like hell?
And where's your pencil, Meyer?
It's Flynn, sir. He's being held at hostage at 617 Downtree Lane.
That's the Swede's address. Never trust a Swede. That's my old adage, sir.
All right. Wendrick, you, Officer McMillan, and I will go rescue him. Zay, McKenna, you guys come too. Spinoza, you hold down the...
I'm pretending I'm a butterfly.
Officer Muldoon, you hold down the fort.
Will do, El Capitan.
Come on, we've got no time to waste. Meanwhile, back at 617 Downtree Lane...
I struggle fruitlessly with my bonds, trying with every ounce of strength I can muster up to break free. A figure moves towards me in the darkness. Never thought it would end like this. To tell you the truth, I never thought it would end in a way that even remotely involved the Swedish.
We'll return for the exciting conclusion of The Roaring Tide, Part 2, but first, a word from our sponsor.
Good morning, Bill. Cartwright. Hey, Paul. How's the weekend?
Boy, not too good, Greg. Not too good.
How so?
Well, it's my kids, Greg. I think they're turning into, I don't know, some sort of juvenile delinquents or something.
Why do you think that, Paul?
Well, yesterday, I...
Developed a stutter?
No. I heard them listening to big band music.
Oh, is that all? My kids listen to big band music all the time. Sure, they even go out dancing most nights, and they seem like some fine kids.
This just in. The children of Greg Uverton were arrested today on 3 counts of petty larceny. When asked why they had perpetrated such a heinous crime, they told this reporter, "The big band music made us do it." Which leaves this reporter asking the question, why did they have such a horribly neglectful parent?
Hello, radio world. I'm Bradford Steele. Star of immensely popular Hollywood hit says, "Don't answer the door, mama, it could be love. Taxi driver, can you rendezvous me with death?" And the life, death, and resurrection of a mild-mannered taxidermist. And I'm here today with my sultry voice and bronzed Adonis-like physique that you can't see to talk to you about the looming threat that is big band music. Big band music has been on the rise in the past few years. And it's been proven by medical scientists to be a harbinger of evil. Big band music carries the sultry tones and the swinging beats of Satan himself right into your children's little impressionable eardrums.
And John the Baptist said unto the gathering group of people, "I baptize you with water, but the one who will come..." On old-time religion, I'm gonna go put on wingtip shoes and dance like there's no tomorrow.
The horrifying revelation of that impressionable young boy you just heard was a dramatization of what can happen when you let big band music into your home.
My little Sally was always such a good girl, always did her homework, excelled in arithmetic, until she heard that vulgar, no good Nick Betty Goodman. Now, she kissed a boy in public! Oh, what have they done to my little Sally?
Generally, you see this kind of behavior with younger children. But every once in a while, Beelzebub's beats can ensnare their hearts and minds of the older generation. That's a good film title. Beelzebub's beats? Have one of DeMille's copy boys.
I'm an accountant, and I'm not one for big flashy movements or expensive foodstuffs. In fact, one would not be remiss to say my life is incredibly plain. But then one day I heard some of that their big band music on the radio, and before I knew it, there I was in the street screaming maniacally at cars, calling them evil metal-wheeled rhinoceroses. My doctors still aren't sure if that's because of the big band music or a severe sociological disorder.
Know the 3 warning signs of big band addiction. 1. An affinity for oddly tempoed music.
23 Skidoo!
Young lady, you get over here right now!
Now that's a good parent. 2. A major surge in slang terminology.
So we were slumming down the dance hall, and there was this broad standing out by the crossroads, and I'm thinking, what a dame!
Yeah, you're right!
She is a dame!
And finally, a marked change in how they respond to parental stimuli.
Molly, dear, it's time for all good little girls to go to sleep.
Aw, go suck on a fence post.
Know these signs, and you'll be able to stop big band at the source. I'm Bradford Steele, amazingly famous Hollywood movie star saying goodnight. There, I've done the damn commercial. Are we done? What? I don't care how many indigenous people I put in the hospital. I will not do another one of those commercials. I do not care, Phil. I simply do not care. And for the record, those smug aborigines had it coming. Oh, look at me, I could play a didgeridoo. What a yutz. We're done.
We now return to the exciting conclusion of The Adventures of Harry Flynn.
The figure that had entered the room had quietly closed the door behind it. I felt an astounding sense of doom and terror that wouldn't be appropriate to bring up in polite conversation. Come to finish the job, I see. The figure stepped into the light. It was Greta, Carl's knock-around wife. She went behind me and untied the knots that secured me to the chair.
Now get out of here, before Carl comes back.
Why are you doing this for me? Don't you think there'll be repercussions?
You mean, will he hurt me? Probably. But if you can get to the police in time, you'll be able to put him away, and I'll be free again.
Free again?
When I was just 15, Carl and I started dating. Although he was sweet, but after we got married, he let his true self out. He beat me over any little old thing. Getting the toast wrong, not cleaning properly. He's not the typical Swedish man.
So I've noticed.
So go then. I'll stay here as a distraction.
Well, thanks, Greta. Before I knew what was happening, Greta was kissing me hard on the lips. I don't know if it was the passionate force of it, or being wrapped up in a blanket of Swedish ecstasy, but I left out the fact that I was seeing someone at that particular moment. Mmm, tasted like lutefisk.
Come on, it's right this way, Mr. Flynn.
When Greta opened the door, she was greeted by the face of her adoring husband, Carl. He was carrying a large tub, concrete, and some mongering tools along with a facade so evil-looking you could use it to successfully frighten a bear. Before you could say, Yagurshka Diga, Carl had grabbed my piece off the table and forced Greta to take a permanent REM cycle.
Look what you made me do to my Greta. I knew you coppers were no good.
Lumbering Swede aimed my own piece square at my head. Luckily, a quick jab to the fist took care of any and all gun-related problems, knocking it out of the room and past the doorway. Ibsen was too blinded by rage to go and grab it. What I hadn't counted on was him picking me up and flinging me into the ornately carved chair in retaliation.
Oh, you think you're so smart, do you, Mr. Flint? Well, looks like you're gonna be my catch of the day.
I'm the only one allowed to make fish puns around here, buddy. Ibsen pulled out a pair of nasty-looking pliers and, with a rather impressive Nordic agility, clamped them to my nose and started twisting. What is this, a Three Stooges routine?
Oh yeah, but you won't be laughing when I mount your sniffer on my wall!
I gave Ibsen a pretty good sock to the back of the head. It didn't knock him out, but it did the trick, causing him to hit the floor like a 250-pound sack of potatoes. I noticed a phone on the table just outside the doorway. Quickly, I ran to it and picked it up.
I direct your call?
Yes, operator, get me the... Hold on, do I know you?
Possibly, but seeing as I cannot see you, I have no way of knowing who you are.
No, I know you. You're the receptionist from, well, from like 10 different places around the city.
No, sir, I believe you are mistaken.
No, you're that same woman. How do you have so many jobs?
How may I direct your call?
All right, get me the...
Ugh! Direct your call as requested. Have a nice day.
Nice try, Flynn. But you have to get up pretty early to pull one over on Carl Ibsen.
I ran back into the room I was held captive in. Carl followed. I noticed his mongering kit, reached inside, and pulled out a rather impressive-looking sword. Why the hell would a fishmonger have this? Looks like something a Turkish hitman would have adorning his wall.
Oh, that's my deep-sea fish flare. I'm awful proud of that knife, yes I am.
He then produced his own identical, albeit older, version of the devastating cooking blade I was holding in my hands.
This is one I took out of commission, it not being new as the one you have there. Yes, sir, it's a good quality knife.
Oh, well, for... how long have you been using that knife?
Oh, the older one's been with me since the beginning. I just got the new one about 3 months ago.
Well, I must say, for all that use, it is still in excellent condition.
Well, thank you kindly.
En garde.
Touché.
Right there. Take that one. I flung my sword around, attempting to confuse the Thor-like brute with some fancy footwork. As a kid, I had read just enough Zorro pulps to think I knew a thing or two about sword duels. Looks like I was wrong. I quickly abandoned the fillet knife, running out into the hall to grab my piece. On the way to my piece, something snagged my pant leg and made me trip. I turned around to see what it was. A cutesy carving of the Norse god Odin. Damn kitschy statue.
Well, looks like it's over for you.
Carl was over top of me, waving my piece around in triumph. He looked as happy as if it was free smulpadge day at your local Swedish bakery.
Time to say hey, dog copper. Attention, Carl Ibsen. This is Police Commissioner Spinelli. Come out with Detective Flynn and nobody gets hurt.
Ibsen looked about as chagrined as if someone had just popped his... Oh, for the love of God, I don't know. I'm not an endless depository of Swedish culture.
Ibsen, this is your last warning. Come out or we'll use whatever force is deemed necessary to obtain Detective Flynn.
Ibsen pointed the gun at me, then pointed towards the front door. I walked out quietly, attempting to give the blonde bully no further reason to shoot at me.
We don't want any funny.
I found out after the fact that Officer McMillan had been given concrete instruction to subdue Ibsen by any means necessary at the first sight of even a lock of his blonde hair. Apparently, McMillan's preferred subduction technique is the headbutt.
Carl Ibsen, you are arrested for the murder of Frederick Arberton Jr.
And a slew of others, including your wife. Body's inside. I'll fill you guys in on the way over.
Sorry I ditched you there, Mr. Flynn.
No worries, rookie. No worries. If it weren't for you running off, I probably would have been turned into fish bait.
I'll get you for this one day, copper!
For the last time, it's Detective Harry Flynn. As they carried the Nordic monster away, I couldn't help thinking there was a slight bit of good in him. Sure, he's killed his own wife, his original business partner, and multiple people for a shady underground organization, but it was for a purer cause. For the love of the art. For the love of the catch. For the love of fishmongering. Okay, scratch what I was just saying. They need to put this man away for one hell of a long time. When we got back to police headquarters, all I wanted to do was go down to Glenn's and have a drink. However, D.A. Murdoch had other plans.
Do you realize how bad we look as a unit if one of our operatives goes missing? We become pathetic. A laughingstock of an organization.
Jeez, Murdoch. You're pathetic without me. Now you're pathetic with me. Looks like you just can't win, huh?
Just don't do it again.
What, get kidnapped?
Yes! Don't get kidnapped, damn it.
Well, can't make any promises, but I'll try my darndest, Mr. D.A. Spinelli, bar?
Hey, why not? McMillan, hold down the fort. Call me if anything crazy happens.
Yes, sir.
And have an extra donut. You've earned it.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Spinelli changed out of his uniform and we headed on down to Glenn's. That's pretty cut and dry there.
Hey, Harry, there's one thing I've been meaning to ask you.
Shoot, Travis.
Well, this whole case was about fishmongering, right?
Yeah, what of it?
Well, I mean, you know what a fishmonger does, don't you?
Well, from the way Ibsen was talking, I thought they were just fishermen.
They prepare fish to be cooked and eaten. So, in a roundabout way, you just took a food case.
Son of a...
This has been The Adventures of Harry Flynn, presented by WRKC. This week's episode, the...
Keith, the episode's not over yet.
Oh, I'm sorry, I guess I jumped the gun a little bit. Carry on. Meanwhile, in an abandoned warehouse...
Hey, why are we meeting here again?
Because apparently one of our operatives has been arrested. The Swedish fellow who works down by the pier.
Hey, isn't that a song or something? Where the watermelons grow...
No, you moron. That one's called Down by the Bay.
Hey, it's still an area next to a body of water. Bobby too.
Here he comes. Sir, it looks as though Ibsen's been arrested.
Which means everything is going along according to plan.
We good? Are we good? All right. This has been The Adventures of Harry Flynn, presented by WRKC. This week's episode, The Roaring Tide, Part 2, was written by Lucas Tomasacci. Our cast today was Brandy George as Officer Spinoza, Young Boy, and Mother. Kara Midwick as Officer Wendrick, Young Girl, Greta, and Veronica. DJ Nat as Harry Flynn and Officer Meyer. Drake Nestor as Officer Zay, D.A. Robert Murdoch, News Announcer Bradford Steele, and Bobby Toots. Jennifer Momenzada as Officer McMillan, Operator, Emotional Mother, and Young Girl. Lucas Tomasacci as Announcer, Carl Lipson, Commissioner Spinelli, and Thomas. And Samuel Groom as Officer McKenna, Paul, Father, Teen Boy, and Jack. Special guest star Nicholas Clem as Officer Rogers, Officer Muldoon, and Greg. Theme for The Adventures of Harry Flynn composed by Michael Wall and David Tomasacci, as performed by Michael Wall on piano, drums and trumpet, Terence Kahn on accordion, and Luis Obregon on viola, with sound engineering by Michael Wall. Can't get enough Harry Flynn? Log on to www.harryflynn.wiki.com or find us on Facebook for all of your Harry Flynn-related needs, including MP3s of previous episodes. Thank you.